Father, we're grateful now for this time that you've given us. We thank you for the precious word of God that we have, Lord, to bring us together, Lord, to unify us and help us, Lord, to focus, Lord, upon it and the contents therein. God, we just ask you now, Lord, to be with us during this next few minutes we have together as this class. We thank you for these that are here. We thank you, Lord, that many of us are better. Those who have been sick, Lord, there are still some out. We pray for them. And God, we just give you now this time together we have, and we ask you, Lord, as we open the Word of God, may the Holy Spirit be our guide, our teacher, in all things that we say and do. And God, we just want to thank you for this past year. We thank you for this new year now that you're setting before us day by day. As we look to you, dear God, to guide us, we ask you, dear God, to bring glory to yourself through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Begin reading Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read a few verses of scripture here. You know, I'm glad we have a New Year's Day, so to speak. You know, it's a time, a New Year's Day is like a breaking point in our lives, okay? We come to the end of a year now, hey, this is a breaking point. We're going to start all over, right? We're going to start here another time, another new year, so to speak. It's a time to stop sometimes and take stock of ourselves. What am I doing? What am I accomplishing? You know, take stock sometimes of where we are and where we've been. It's a time also to renew our determinations. What are you determined to do this year? You know, new changes. You know, we need to refresh our thinking sometimes, our determinations of what we're going to do. A time also to renew our goals in our life. Like they always said about reading our Bible through. I mean, renewing our goals this year. What are we going to try to accomplish this year in 2015? Also, it's a time to make a fresh start. Just make a fresh start. And I'm glad we have year after year, you know. Time in this life does not go on and on and on. But we have a time to make a fresh start. And I hope we'll do that this morning as we start into the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 12, begin reading with verse number 1. Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. In these verses we find here, the writer of Hebrews, we know that the Christian life involves hard work, doesn't it? I mean, the Christian life is not just something naturally that we do. It involves work. I don't know about your life, it does mine. I mean, this flesh don't want to read the Bible. This flesh don't want to pray. This flesh don't want to come to church sometimes, you know? But the inner man, the Holy Spirit that lives within us, is a motivator. Sometimes he's a driver to encourage us and enable us to come to church. And I'm thankful to know today that to realize that even though the Christian life is hard to do, we understand also that we have help. We have assistance, that is the Holy Spirit. We also see here that we must give up sometimes things that would hinder our relationship with the Lord. We must give it up. Sometimes it's not maybe easy to give up things. It may be pleasures. It may be activities. There's a lot of things we have to give up sometimes to do what God wants us to do and to have a good relationship with Him. So I'm saying here, the Christian life, it involves hard work. We also must run with patience. We must be patient in our lives as we struggle against sin in our lives. We struggle sometimes with things, so we must be patient and wait upon the Lord, because He's going to give us the power to overcome no matter what we're struggling with. It may be sickness. It may be finances. It may be family situations. Whatever it is, He's going to help us through it. And we'll just be patient. But we have to wait upon the Lord. We We really do have to wait upon the Lord. We also must keep our eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author said. Looking unto Jesus. Keeping our eyes upon the Lord. I found in my life many times, if I'll do that, I will make it. But kind of like Peter walking on the water, you know. He took his eyes off the Lord and what happened to him. He began to sink. Well, the same thing happens to us sometimes. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. In the darkest valley, in the darkest walk of your life, if we will look to Jesus, we will see a way out. He'll show us a way out. I thank God for that today. I really do. We also are running for Christ. We're not running for ourselves. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God has ordained, God has planned our life, if we will allow Him to. Lead our life every day, every day. And I'm thankful for that today. So we see here the writer here is trying to encourage us in our walk with the Lord. But I want you to look in verse number 3 as we convey our thought to you today. As we, no matter what we face in life, suffering, pain, whatever it is, we must look unto Jesus. Someone said that suffering is a training ground for Christian maturity. Suffering is a training ground for Christian maturity. It helps us to grow. It helps us to grow. He also said that it develops our patience and it makes our final victory sweeter. It develops our patience and it makes our final victory sweeter in our life. Thank God. There is a victory coming one day, a final victory. That's going to be the sweetest victory. When Jesus comes and takes us up to where He is, we're going to be through with this life and troubles and trials we had to go through here in this world. But look at verse number 3. Verse number 3 says, for what's the next two words? Consider Him. I want to convey our thoughts this month in January. February is stewardship month. But in January, I want us to convey our thoughts on consider Him. Consider Him. I want us to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ this month if we can. And realize that He is, as we sing this song, He's all we need. He's all we need in our life. He was crucified for me, He died. He's all I need. If we'll focus upon Him and let Him be first in our life, I think we'll find our life will be a better life. We'll enjoy life more. But again, I've said, this Christian life is a struggle. It's not always easy to focus on the Lord because of life's troubles and trials and things we have to deal with in our life. But we need to try to focus on Him. The writer says, for consider Him, notice, that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider Him. You know, we have a responsibility, we have a duty, and that is to consider Christ. Consider Him, who He is. We owe ourselves to Him. We need to consider Him as His character, who He really is. We notice in the Old Testament, we find, excuse me for coughing, for the Jews' highest authority was who? The high priest. The Jews' highest authority was the high priest. The Christians, their highest human authority were God's apostles. Were God's apostles in their time. But we see Jesus is God's apostle and the ultimate authority of the church today. He's the ultimate authority in the church today, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we find here, if you will, take your Bibles and turn back to chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. Consider Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to look at Him this morning and see who He is. We just celebrated the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ when He became a man. Well, He's more than just His time began in the beginning. We'll see that later on. He's more than just coming to be a man and dying for us. And we'll thank God that He did come and be born through a virgin birth and live and die for us on an old rugged cross. But let's consider Him today as we look at His life. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider, There's that word again. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Who? Christ Jesus. Consider. That means weigh out the value. You know, most of us come up the old country stores. I love to go to the old country stores, didn't you? Go to old country stores, you know, they have it on the counter, a great big, like a case, you know, with a big hunk of cheese in there, you know. And you want some cheese, and open that, slide that thing open, you know, and he had a scale on top of that thing, and he cut out a hunk like this, you know. Take that cheese and lay it up there and weigh it. He weighed it out. That was the value of it, how much it cost. You know, that was good cheese, wasn't it? That was good cheese. But we're going to look out here as we consider, we're going to weigh out, if you please, check the value of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and what he means to us, what he should mean to us, and who he is to us. And we're going to look at him today as we look at, first of all, here in this passage of Scripture, you see. We see here in verse number 1 of chapter 3, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the who? Apostle. The apostle. Christ Jesus, he was an apostle. Now, who is an apostle? He is one sent on a definite mission. One sent on a definite mission. One sent is an apostle. And we see here that he is one sent. The apostle, he is the apostle of who? Who is Jesus Christ the apostle? He's the apostle of God. God sent him. God sent him on a mission, did he not? And we should listen to him. Notice also, not only is he an apostle, but a high priest of our profession. A high priest. We notice here our high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we come to God. We come to God through who? Jesus Christ, our high priest. So we see he is our prime minister of the gospel church also. He's a messenger sent of God. Jesus Christ is a messenger. We need to consider him as what he is to us. He's a messenger of God to us upon a very important errand. Why did Jesus come? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We find that in Luke 19, verse number 10. That was his errand. That's why God sent him out. He sent him to this world to seek and to save me and you, because we all were lost. I thank God today for that. Thank God that he loved us enough to send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we consider him, he was a messenger sent from God. He's God's apostle, if you please. The great revealer of that faith that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ that we profess to hold, and also the hope that we profess of one day seeing him and being with him throughout eternity. Consider him. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Fix our thoughts upon him. You know, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think upon him. Think upon him. Who he is, what he's done for you, what he's done for me. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, we found out in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. He's the author and also the finisher of our faith. It's because of him that we can be saved. It's because of him that we're going to wind up with him and spending eternity with him. He's the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus. Consider him the author and the finisher. Many people profess faith in Christ, but never consider him. Never really consider him. Think about who he really is. Think about what he's done, what he's doing in my life daily, you know. You know, I'm so glad that I don't walk alone in this world. I'm so glad that my Savior goes with me every step, every step. I like that song we usually sing sometimes, each step I take, I know my Savior goes with me. Every step I take in my life, consider him. Listen, there's no one any greater, no one any sweeter, no one any more important to you and to me as a Christian than Jesus Christ. No one. No one can take his place. As we closely consider him, what's going to take place in our life? First of all, we're going to become more acquainted with him. Become more acquainted with him. You know, we go through life, we become more acquainted with people at times, don't we, when we're around them. My wife and I went to a wedding shower yesterday, and a young boy, young man now, when we first got married, my wife babysitted at home. And this boy and his brother were the first two that she kept in her home. And they sent us an invitation to go through the shower. And we went yesterday, and I was talking with him. He's a grown man now. He was 3 years old the last time I saw him. Now he's a grown man. And, and I talked to his fiance, both of them, and I said, y'all got a lot to learn about each other now. They said, we know that. We know that. But when we can become more acquainted with people, when we're close to them, and likewise it is with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we never have any time with him or time for him, we won't know nothing about him except for the fact he saved me. You know, and how sad it is to know that that's all I know about him. He saved me. You know, so we need that close consideration here. What does it do? It increases our love to him. We love him more. And therefore, we want to obey him more because of that close consideration of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider him. We have need to stir up one another, you know, to have a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider him. Consider him daily in our walk. Consider Christ as he's described in the scriptures for us. He is described, and I thank God for that. You know, he is described as the Messiah, of course, the anointed one in a lot of things in the Bible, our Savior, our healer, our great physician of our souls. A close consideration of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful today to know that he's closer to me than I am to him sometimes. I thank God for that. I really do. I want to look also, think about, not only Christ in the flesh, the incarnate Christ, but I want to look also at the pre-incarnated Christ in the beginning. In the beginning. The personal Christ in the flesh is best understood when we compare the personal Christ before he became flesh. The personal Christ before he became flesh. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We see the second person of the Trinity is described as possessing all attributes of the Godhead. Paul tells us that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. He possesses all the attributes of the Godhead. The Lord Jesus does. He's also distinguished as the second person in contrast with the first person or the third person. He's the second person, that is Jesus Christ, the second person. He's also, we see, the eternal Son in contrast with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He's considered the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is. In Hebrews 13:8, the Bible tells us, it makes clear that these attributes are eternal possessions of Christ. Hebrews 13:8 tells us, Jesus Christ, notice, the same when? Yesterday, today, and forever. These attributes are with him forever. Even before his incarnation, Christ had certain properties and ministries that were designated to him from God. God designed that. That was God's will, you see. Now, in the plan of God, we know that Jesus Christ, when we consider him, he was designated as the coming Redeemer. He was the one that would come and die for mankind. That was God's plan. That was God's order. He appeared many times in the Old Testament in the character of the angel of Jehovah. Jesus did. Also, we see his person prior to his incarnation, before he became man, his person did not include any human or angelic attribute. Before he became flesh, it did not involve any change or addition to his nature, his own nature, before he became a man. We see that when the second person of the Godhead became flesh, they're introduced seemingly a problem of uniting a God who is infinite with man. He's infinite with man, and combining an infinite and eternal person with God, with man, who is finite and temporal. There's a problem. How can God become a man? How can God become a man? That's a big question today. Well, the answer that I have is simply, I believe in the inspired, infallible Word of God. That's the only answer I have. The Bible teaches us that He became a man. And I believe that, and I will always accept that. Even though I can't understand it completely, I still accept it and I believe it. I believe it as the infallible Word of God. So we see here, as we look at this and consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians 15. First of all, when we consider Christ of who He is, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're talking about His pre-incarnate state before He became a man. Before He became a man. Let's look at Him. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 45. Paul says, "As it is, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual." Verse 47, "The first man is of the earth earthly. The second man is the," what? "Lord from heaven." The Lord from heaven. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven. He's considered the Lord of heaven. This is before He became a man now. He's in heaven with the Father. Okay, He's with the Father in the beginning. Now notice also over in John, over to John chapter 3. Back to John chapter 3. Read a few verses of Scripture here. Let the Word of God be our teacher today. In John chapter 3, look at verse number 31. "He that cometh from above is above all." See that? "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is," what? "Above all." Above all, the Lord Jesus. He is above all, the Bible says. Now turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, look at verse 38. Jesus says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." He came down from heaven to do God's will. Chapter 8, look over to chapter 8, verse 23. Chapter 8, verse 23. Jesus, and He said unto them, "Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world." The Lord of heaven I'm speaking about. Consider Him, first of all, the Lord of heaven. Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven. Now look also in verse number 42. Verse number 42, the Bible says, Jesus says unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me." He sent me. So we see Jesus Christ, consider Him as the Lord of heaven. The Father sent Him down to this earth. He sent Him. Now, when was Jesus the Lord of heaven? Turn with me, if you please, to John, turn back to chapter 1. St. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Who's the same? The Word. "The Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Now look at verse 14. "And the Word was made," what? "Flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. Now notice, the first statement in the Bible, and the first statement takes us beyond the first verse in the Bible. The verse says here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," right? Now this takes us back further than Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 says what? says, in the beginning, what? God created the heavens and the earth. But this verse takes us back beyond that verse. That's when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were in the beginning. So we see here, when was Jesus Lord of heaven? In the beginning. He was the Lord of heaven in the beginning. Whenever that was. There's no such thing as the beginning. See, this is the beginning. Genesis 1:1 is the beginning of creation. But here in this chapter, in this verse, is another beginning. A timeless beginning. See, that beginning without a beginning, when our finite mind cannot understand. But it was in the beginning. It was in the beginning, you see. There was a time when God created the earth. But there was a time before that when Jesus was with Him. The Word was with Him. He who is the Word was in the beginning. The Lord Jesus Christ was in the beginning. He who is before all creation, before all things, and above all creation, has no beginning. In John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. That word was means existing. I was existing before Abraham. I was before Abraham. Jesus was in the beginning. He's the Lord of hell. He was the Lord of heaven. He is the Lord of heaven. We see this. So our Lord Jesus Christ is an eternal being. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. When we consider Him, first of all, He's the Lord of heaven. He was the Lord of heaven. In Colossians chapter 1, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, we'll get there in a minute. Look at chapter 1. Look at verse number 15. Of course, we see here Paul is writing about the Lord Jesus Christ, how we're to walk with Him, and He's delivered us from the power of darkness, and in whom we have redemption, verse 14. And verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities, powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, the Bible tells us. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. What do we see here? We see here, first of all, in verse number 16, that Jesus Christ was before all things in time. In time. Notice it says, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. We see that Jesus Christ was before all things in time. Before the first thing was ever created, Jesus Christ was already there. He was already there. In the beginning, you see, Jesus Christ is not a created being. He is a creator. We see, before the beginning of time, the universe or anything existed, He was there. He was there with the Father. Consider Him as the Lord of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who He is. You see. We see that in the verses of Scripture here. Not only is Jesus Christ before all things in time, but we also see He's Jesus Christ before all things in importance. Verse 17 says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things are made, and He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. You know, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. We see here, nothing is superior to Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing in heaven, nothing on earth is superior to Him. Jesus Christ was precious to the Father. The Lord of heaven. The Lord of heaven. We see He is the sovereign majesty of the world today. Sovereign majesty of the world. We see He alone stood before all as supreme. He stands supreme before all. no matter who comes into existence. Christ is before all, verse 17. Not only is before all, but he holds all things together. He holds all things together, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we just can't magnify, we can't lift up, we can't glorify Jesus Christ too much.
Amen. That's right.
For who he is. The Lord of heaven. He was with the Father in the beginning. He always has been, always will be. The same yesterday, today, forever. He changes not. You know, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. You just go right on. That's who he is. Words can never end to describe him. That's who he is. And I thank God today that I know him. I know him personally. And I know you do if you're saved today. He's the greatest thing. I don't like that song. They sing, they say, Jesus is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I don't like that. He's not the greatest thing that ever happened to me. But because he died for me, you know, that's what is important to me. He died for me to forgive me of my sins. You know, and you know, I just can't describe him enough. I can't talk about him enough. He's the Lord of heaven, folks. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of heaven. Now, the question is this. Is he Lord of my life? Is he Lord of your life? Do we consider him in everything that we do? Every decision we make, do we consider him? No matter how big, how little it may seem to us, every decision, do we consider him? Do we ask him? Do we wonder what he would do? What would he do if he was here today in my life when I have to make a decision? What would he do? Would he do what I'm going about to do? Or am I going to do something to answer, satisfy me rather than satisfy him? Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. He's someone to think about. He's someone to, you know, pattern your life for and with. I'm thankful today for the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for me and what he's done for you. This month, as we consider Christ, I want us to look at him. I want us to read about him, study him, and realize that without him, we're nothing. Without him, we're nothing. You know? What does the world need today? The world, someone says, needs love. They do. But the world is seeking love through all things in this world, and they can't find it. There's only one true love, and that's Christ. He's more important than anything in this world, folks. He really is. And I hope and pray this year, 2015, that it's our desire to consider him as being Lord of our life. Lord of our life. And if he's Lord of our life, we're going to have a prosperous and a blessed year. We may not have a lot of money. We might not have a lot of things. But there's more to life than that. Having the peace of God in my heart that I know that I'm doing what God wants me to do and I'm living my life the way God wants me to live my life is more valuable than anything in this world to me. It really is to me. You know, because all these other things are going to pass away. They're going to pass away. But I'm going to be with the Lord one day forever. You know? And only what I do in this life is going to last for Christ. All I do, what I do for Christ is going to last. And I'm grateful that we have the opportunity to do that. Do whatever God lays on our heart to do. You know? But let's consider him this year. Consider Christ in every decision that you make this week. If it's what you're going to take for lunch, it's where you're going to go today or tomorrow. Whatever you're going to consider him, let him be first. Ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do? What would he do? Consider him Lord of your life and see what God does for your life. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you today for loving us. I thank you, dear God, for the time you've given us once again to be together in your house. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God that you have provided for us through ages, time. You have preserved it for us, God. We have it to read. We have it to study. We have it to share. We have it, dear God, as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path as we journey this journey towards home. Lord, we're just pilgrims here. We're just passing through. Lord, I pray this year as we start a new year now, 2015, Lord, that we would consider the Lord Jesus Christ in our life every day and what He would have me to do, where He would have me to go, what He would have me to say, and realize, Lord, who He is. He's the Lord of heaven. He's the Lord of heaven. Next week, we're going to look at another avenue of who He is and what He's done for us as children of God. And I pray, God, as we go through this together, Lord, that we'll draw closer to Him. And, Lord, we might let Him have preeminence in our own lives. Lord, that somehow, Lord, we may bring honor and glory to Him. Lord, bless Your people this week. I pray, Lord, You give them a great week in the Lord. And, God, as we go from day to day, Lord, help us to look to You for Your guidance in all we do. Father, bless now the service we're about to go into, the morning worship service. I pray You bless the singing, bless our pastor. Anoint him afresh and anew. Give him the liberty to say to us what You've led upon him to say. And God, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive and to apply what we hear today to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.